So how do you know when mama is calling you? Has anybody had, do you know when mama called you? You know when daddy called you. Amen. You know when someone who loves you calls you. You know their voice. But how do you know when God is speaking to you? Now, many times I've heard people say that, well, I felt the Lord leading me to do this. I know what you mean by that. But feeling is very deceiving. How do you know? And the reason I say that is Old English. You ever wonder why the K is there? And no, you don't ever sound it. Old English was know, like knight. All right? Know. So how do you know when God is speaking to you? Well, Luke chapter 14, verse 15, begin reading. And let me read this. Got to find my spot here. Now, when one of those who sat at the table with him heard these things, he said to him, "Blessed is he who shall eat bread in the kingdom of God." Then he, that being Jesus, said to him, "A certain man gave a great supper and invited many, and sent his servant at supper time to say to those who were invited, 'Come, for all these things are now ready.' But they all went with one accord, began to make excuses. The first said to him, 'I bought a piece of ground, and I must examine and go and see it. I ask you to have me excused.' Verse 19, and another said, 'I bought 5 yoke of oxen, and I'm going to test them. I ask you to have me excused.' 20, still another said, 'I have married a wife, and therefore I cannot come.' So the servant came and reported these things to his master. Then the master of the house, being angry, said to his servant, 'Go out quickly into the streets and the lanes of the city and bring in here the poor and the maimed and the lame and the blind.' And the servant said, 'Master, it is done as you have commanded, and still there is no room. There is still room.' And then the master said to the servant, 'Go out into the highways and the hedges and compel them to come in, that my house may be filled. For I say to you that none of these men who were invited shall taste my supper.'" Let's look at those excuses. And with one accord, they started to say to him in verse 18, 19 says, "I bought a piece of property and I need you to go and look at it." Now, hold on. How many people buy land and don't look at it first? Not very many. Let's read the next one. What's the other excuse? "I have bought 5 yoke of oxen and I'm going to test them." How many of you go to the dealership, pay the dealership first for the vehicle, and don't test drive it? I didn't think so, right? It's a pretty lame excuse. The next excuse, "I've married a wife and I can't come." That's right. Go blame it on the wife. All right? It's just an excuse. And so the next one is, well, that's what it was. And so these are excuses. You know, when God is speaking to you, let me just go ahead and tell you right here. You start making dumb excuses why you won't see the need. When God speaks to you, you start making excuses. I can't do that. What are people going to think of me? Oh, I can't do that. I've got other things. Second, you know he's calling you because you know it will cost you something. Now, some people say they don't go to church because all they want is money. Let me go ahead and tell you, you can keep your dirty money. Okay? If that's the way you feel about it, keep your money. I don't want it. God don't want it. God don't need it. But God commands his people to give. Right? If your attitude in your heart is, "I don't go to church because all they want is money," well, then you can come, but keep your money at home. If money is that important to you, then keep it. I'll let God deal with you on that. But people start making dumb excuses. Like I said, you know when God is calling you, when you start to make excuses. How many of you have been there? I remember when right before I came to faith in Jesus Christ, I was sitting there hearing the preaching, the altar call was given at the end of the service. Anybody who would come forward, God is speaking to you. And I remember holding on to that pew going, "I ain't going up there. I don't feel comfortable to go. I don't know if God's really talking to me. But the whole time, I feel him tugging at me. Come to me. I don't know what to say. I don't know what to do. What are people going to think of me? What is mama going to think of me? Mama thinks I'm a good boy. So I go up there, I'm just admitting I'm a sinner. I don't want to go. There's the key. I don't want to. Why? Because I knew when I gave my life to Jesus, it was going to cost me my life. Amen? That is the number one reason people don't ever come to faith in Jesus. Because they know it will cost them their life. Luke chapter 18, verse 18 to 23. Flip on over. Y'all better keep your Bibles open. Luke chapter 18, verse 18. And the scripture says, "Now a certain ruler asked him, saying, 'Good teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?' So Jesus said to him, 'What do you call me good? No one is good but the one that is God. You know the commandments. Do not commit adultery. Do not murder. Do not steal. Do not bear false witness. Honor your father and your mother.'" In verse 21, he said, "All these things I've done and kept from my youth." Verse 22, "So when Jesus heard these things, he said to him, 'You still lack one thing. Sell all that you have and distribute to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. And come, follow me.' But when he heard this, he became very sorrowful, for he was very rich." This man knew that if he decided to follow Jesus, it was going to cost him everything. He knew, well, I've been a good guy. I haven't done all of these things. I've kept the Ten Commandments. You know, you notice Jesus said, "Why do you call me good?" But see, Jesus knew his heart. Jesus wasn't saying, as some people inaccurately think he is saying, that he's not saying that he's not, that Jesus himself is not good. He's saying, "Why do you call me good?" He's already testing his heart. Jesus knew what was inside that man's heart. Scripture says he knew what was inside the heart of man. And so Jesus is asking, "Why do you call me good? Only God is good. Let me ask you. So, have you done this? Have you done that?" "Yeah, I've done all of that." "Oh, well, that's good, but you still lack one thing. Sell everything. Give me your life. I want you to come to me totally broken. And when you do, then you will have eternal life." But the man was sad. I can't give up this stuff. I don't want to give up my wealth. I worked hard for it. It's going to be hard for me to get it back. If I serve you, I won't get it back." Jesus said, "You're going to have life in heaven. You're going to be rich in heaven. See, your life down here is just a vapor. You're here one second and gone the next." How many of us are in our 80s look back and go, "Well, I really wish I was 40. Hello? How many of us that are in 40 looking back say, "Man, I really wish I was 20. All right. How many of us still wish we were younger? And yet we're looking at our life and we're going, "Well, I've been around a while. Kind of wish we were back early on where they lived a few hundred years, you know, but that's not happening. Your life is but a vapor. You're here one day and gone the next." And he is saying, it's going to cost you everything if you decide to follow me. Yeah, you may not be rich down here, but you're going to be rich in heaven. Eternity matters. This is just a blimp. This is just a blink in the screen. It's going quickly. Come, follow me. Matthew chapter 16. It's another story. You flip over to Matthew 16. Jesus has been teaching, and there's been a lot of people following him, and they've been listening. I mean, everywhere Jesus goes, there's crowds. In fact, it got to the point that wherever Jesus went, people were starting to trample each other. Because there were so many people, they wanted to hear the words of this man that was given these words of life, and he spoke with so much power. And so he was the thing. He was everybody wanted to see him. And it's amazing when people would instantly gather him, but when the preaching gets hard, oh, he's stepping on my toes. Matthew chapter 16, 21, 26. "From that time, Jesus began to show his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things from the elders and chief priests and scribes, and be killed, and be raised the third day. Then Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him, saying, Far be it from you, Lord, this should not happen to you. But he turned and said to Peter, Get behind me, Satan. You are an offense to me, for you are not mindful of the things of God, but the things of men. Then Jesus said to his disciples, If anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself. Take up his cross and follow me. For whoever desires to save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. For what profit is it to a man that he gains the whole world and still loses his own soul? Or what would a man give in exchange for his soul? There's many people who come to faith in Jesus Christ that literally lose it all. There's a story, one of many, but here's one of a man in Somalia. And at the age of 13, he heard some preaching and he knew that God was calling him to give his life up to him. In Somalia now, this isn't your neighborhood, right? I don't care how bad it is, this is not Somalia. And so this man decides, this young man, 13, decides to follow Jesus Christ. And so he goes home and he tells his dad what he did. And his dad looks at him and says, I'm going to give you a choice. You either serve Jesus or you serve me. His son looked at him, knowing what that meant, knowing that his father was going to kick him out of the house if he decided to serve Jesus. And 13-year-old looked at him and said, Dad, I choose Jesus. He said his dad beat him severely. His own siblings, his brothers and sisters were cheering on his dad. Kill him, Dad, kill him. Said his dad went and took something and put a scar on his face that is still there to this day. And his dad kicked him out of the house, barely alive, and said, You are not my son. You chose to follow Jesus. You have nothing to do with this family. At 13 years old, kicked out into the street. And for the next 6 years, that young man lived a very miserable and horrible life, away from home. But one day, this young man, still serving Jesus, still in the church, his dad walked in to the church. And he asked the members, now you got to realize this is Somalia. And he said to the people, Is that my son or is that a ghost? And his son looked at him and said, Dad, it's me, your son. I still love you. His dad broke down in tears to his knees and said, If you still love me, I want you to forgive me. I need Jesus. The father gave his life to Jesus, and so did his brothers and his sisters in Somalia. For 6 years, this young man lost everything because he decided to follow Jesus. Now, your situation may not be the same. There are some situations here in America where they lose their family. They lose their group of friends, their people, they're outcasts, they're ridiculed, they're made fun of. Sometimes they lose their jobs, yes, here in America. But they follow Jesus. I think about the time where I first started going to church. Mom dragged us to church. It's all right to drag your kids to church. They'll get over it, okay? If any of them grow up to say, I don't go to church because you dragged me to church, they're a liar. All right? They don't go to church because they know God is there and they're not comfortable around Him. But it's okay to drag your kids to church. And I remember sitting there and hearing the preaching and realizing that even though Jesus Christ loved me so much, that I wasn't worthy of His love. And it was true. I felt ashamed of who I was and what I've done. And I just knew that if I decided to choose Jesus, I couldn't be that type of person. But I had to get to the point where I didn't want to be that person anymore. I needed a change. And so that one night, it was nighttime, I came forward and asked Jesus as my Savior. Nobody led me in a prayer. Nobody was even down there kneeling with me. I just came forward and knelt down and said, Jesus, 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 forgive me, Jesus. That night, God left heaven and stepped into my heart. And he hasn't left yet. And I'm going to go ahead and tell you, he ain't going to leave. You know why so many people will die for Jesus Christ? It's because Jesus will never leave you. You know, a lot of times we think that it's hard being a Christian, amen? And it is sometimes. I mean, it's not hard like in other countries, but we think it's hard to live a Christian life because people make it so hard to. And that's true many times. But the thing about it with Jesus, it is not a mask you put on. It is not a covering you put on. He comes in you and he shines out of you. And that's why your friends look at you that you once hung around and go, I don't know about you anymore. You become one of those fanaticals. Yeah, you're one of those strange people. And they look at you and they can see Jesus in you. They see that there's a different heart beating in you. And they're like, I don't know about that, but let me be honest with you. They're wondering, how can I get that? I remember seeing many people that served Jesus. I'll never forget this one young lady. She was in high school with me, was in a youth group. I was going to church, kind of, you know. I wasn't saved, but I was going to church. And I remember seeing this one girl. I had no feelings for her. It wasn't like that. There was something about her that shone through her. And I didn't know what it was. I knew she was a Christian. I knew she went to church, but I didn't know what that meant. I just saw something shining out of her. And I just watched her. And I watched her in high school when everybody else is doing what typical kids do in high school. She's different. There was something different. I mean, she never witnessed to me. She never said any sermon to me. She just lived her life in Christ before me and everybody else. And I'll never forget that. I thought, I don't know what it is that she has, but I want it. And so one night, like I said, I came forward and I finally let go of that pew in front of me. And I said, Lord, I need you. How can you die yet live? You know, when you come to faith in Jesus Christ, you lose everything. You lose your life. You lose your, not necessarily you lose your ambitions, but now it's no longer what I want to do. It is what Christ wants me to do. It's no longer my set of plans. It's, I may lay out plans, but then I go, God, what do you want me to do? Do you want me to follow this? Do you want me? I remember I wanted to be a pilot. When the song goes, I'll fly away, oh glory. The reason though I kind of didn't sing that one, because I want to fly, okay? I want to fly. But God said, I want you to preach. I didn't argue with him. I said, okay, I'll preach. I gave up what I wanted to do in order to serve him. And you know what? I don't regret it. Do I still want to fly? Yes. Then God created this woman years ago. I met her and I married her. She's terrified of flying. God ain't going to let me fly. But one day I'm going to fly. I will fly as Jesus the pilot. But how can you die yet live? John chapter 11, 25, 26 says, Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this? You know, a lot of times people are like, I can't serve Jesus. There's no way that Jesus will accept me the way that I am. Luke 18:27 says, Jesus said, the things which are impossible with men are possible with God. The things that are impossible with men are possible with God. You may have an addiction that you can't break. It is impossible for you to break that addiction. Let me go ahead and tell you. Because I know you've tried and you've tried and you've tried and you've tried, and you may get a little ground ahead, but man, it takes you right back down. It is an addiction that you cannot break. But Jesus said, it is impossible with you, but with me, is all very possible. You may say, I can't change Brian. I don't see how God can do it. Hey, he raised dead people back to life. I mean, he called one out of the grave that was there for 4 days. I mean, when you've been in the grave 4 days, you're dead. He ain't coming back. But Jesus said, even though your life may be broken, may be destroyed, may be a total death, I can give life to that. Because when everybody says, that life is ruined. Have you ever read these stories? You ever wondered about certain people who, you know, they were all over the news and it was just bad. And people thought, in a few years, that girl's going to be dead or that guy's going to be dead. I mean, just bad. And then later on, you start to wonder, whatever happened to that person? Sometimes you read where they're still around and there's something different about them. They met Jesus. And their life is totally different. When everybody said it's a lost hope, a lost cause, he said, that's where I work the best. Call out to Jesus even when you think you're too shameful to do so. Luke chapter 18, 35 to 43, one of my favorite stories of the Bible, says this. Then it happened, as he, Jesus, was coming near Jericho, a certain blind man sat by the road begging. And hearing a multitude passing by, he asked what it meant. So they told him that Jesus of Nazareth was passing by. And he cried out, saying, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. Then those who went before warned him that he should be quiet. But he cried out all the more, Son of David, have mercy on me. So Jesus stood still and commanded him to be brought to him. And when he came near, he asked him, saying, what do you want me to do for you? And he said, Lord, that I might receive my sight. Then Jesus said to him, receive your sight. Your faith has made you well. And immediately he received his sight and followed him, glorifying God. And all the people, when they saw it, gave praise to God. This man, just a beggar. Who knows what a beggar is? I mean, you see him all the time, right? Just on the side of the road, blind as can be. I could see him with his cup or something, you know, raising up his, help me, I'm blind. Been there for years, broken, the outcast of society. People have pity on him, some don't. Walk by him every single day. Jesus comes by. There's a commotion. Can you imagine? He's blind. He doesn't know what's going on, but he knows something's going on. You know, a lot of you are like that. You're spiritually blind. You've never met Jesus. And there's a commotion. You see things going on. You know something different's going on. You know, what's going on? Jesus. Oh, you've heard about Jesus. It's my man. Here's Jesus. And in his mind, he goes, oh, this man has done miracles. He can give me sight. Jesus! Hey, you be quiet, you beggar. Jesus, shut up. Don't say another word. Jesus. Jesus stops. What can I do for you? It's one thing when somebody who is famous hears you, okay? You ever been around somebody famous and you called out their name? Kept walking by? But what if they stopped? Said, hey, how you doing? Jesus stopped and said, what can I do? I need my sight, and I know you can do it. It's basically what he said. He said, your faith has made you well. And instantly his sight, folks, some of you here today, you're blind and you are so ashamed. People have just gave up on you and you think there is no hope for you. But Jesus said, hey, you call out to me. I'm here. You just call out to me and I will come to you. There will be times that you are shameful of yourself for what you have done. I'm even talking to believers. There are times that you will mess up. And I mean mess up where it you know, everybody knows it. And you're ashamed. And you, what do you do? Maybe you're ashamed of what you become and who you become. And this man was blind, and people told him to stay silent, shut up, you're not worthy, you're too far gone. Cry out to him. Scripture is clear. You are the type of person that he does his greatest restoration work on. A lot of us like to watch these shows that they take something and something that's been gave up on and he restores it. Maybe it's an alcohol addiction that you have a problem with. Maybe it's some kind of drugs. Maybe it's something that has been tearing you up since you were a child. But Jesus Christ will. If you call out to him, he not might. He will. Because you're valuable to him. He says, I will fix you up and make you better than new. Said anybody who the Lord gives me. Let me go ahead and tell you something. If you're here today and you're lost, God has sent you here. And Jesus Christ is calling for you. He's walking by and he's saying, I'm listening. Daughter, I'm waiting for you to call. I will restore you. I never knew him. Yeah, but your name was written down a long time ago before you even born. And he's waiting for you to call him and he will take you into his arms. Maybe you're a man here this morning, a boy, and you need him. Oh, Lord, I need you. Every hour, I need you. You're my one defense. My righteousness, oh God, how I need you. Let's pray. Lord, I pray, Jesus, this morning, there's somebody here this morning that doesn't know you as Savior. They've never called out to you, never even whimpered. God, I pray, Jesus, that they will come out and call out to you this morning. Say, Jesus, I need you. Maybe they'll mouth it and just say, I need you. Lord, whether they're saved or they're lost, may they call out, I need you, Jesus. And Lord, I know that Scripture says you will come to them and have dinner with them. In other words, you will be with them. And what a great time that will be. Lord, do your work today. I have faith that you will. In Jesus' name, amen.